Addendum for sale of other property by buyer. This addendum is used when buyer and seller agree to make a contract subject to the sale and funding of another property currently owned by buyer. Paragraph A. Enter the street address of buyer's property that is to be closed and funded. Enter the date, on or before, that buyer's property must fund. Paragraph B. During the contingency period, if seller receives and accepts an offer from another buyer, buyer has two choices. 1. Waive the contingency. A waiver makes the contract no longer subject to receiving the proceeds of the sale of the other property. Enter the number of days that buyer has to waive the contingency. 2. Decline to waive the contingency. If the contingency is not waived, the contract will terminate and the earnest money will be refunded to buyer. Paragraph C. Buyer is to notify seller of waiver and deposit additional earnest money with the escrow agent. Enter the amount of earnest money required. Paragraph D. If buyer waives the contingency and fails to close because of buyer's non-receipt of the proceeds from the sale of the other property, buyer will default, and the seller may exercise the remedies in paragraph 15. Specific performance, monetary damages, liquidated damages. Addendum for backup contract. This addendum is used when a property is already under contract with a buyer, and another buyer wants to enter into a contract that would become effective if the first contract fails to close. When preparing a backup offer, complete the appropriate contract form and the associated addenda. Adding this addendum form makes the contract a backup contract. Note: the intent of a backup contract is that it is to be contingent on the failure of an existing contract to close. In no way should this contract be interpreted as an attempt on the part of a seller to replace a valid and enforceable contract with a new one that may have terms more favorable to the seller. The agent will enter the effective date of the previous existing contract. The previous contract is known as the first contract. The agent will also enter the date on which the first contract must terminate. If the first contract terminates, the amended effective date of the backup contract becomes the date buyer was notified of the termination. An amendment to the first contract does not constitute a termination of the first contract. If buyer has the option to terminate, the time for giving notice of termination begins on the amended effective date of the backup contract and ends upon the expiration of buyer's option period. Addendum for reservation of oil, gas, and other minerals. Ownership of real property can be divided into three separate estates: surface, air, and subsurface. This addendum refers to subsurface rights as the mineral estate. As with all TREC promulgated contracts, any mineral interest owned by seller will be conveyed to buyer by default. Because of the high level of oil and gas activity throughout Texas, the mineral estate began being severed from the surface estate in transactions over 100 years ago. The mineral estate is severed from the surface estate in one of two ways. First, mineral interests can be conveyed from one owner to another with a mineral deed, by will, or through inheritance. Over the years, thousands of landowners have sold their mineral interests in this manner. To this day, investors continue to purchase mineral interests from surface owners as well as other mineral owners. Secondly, when a property is sold, seller often reserves some, if not all, of the mineral estate. Assuming seller owns any of the mineral estate, the sale of unimproved property and farm and ranch property almost always involves the negotiation of mineral interests. In paragraph B1, seller is reserving all of the mineral estate owned, if any. In paragraph B2, seller reserves a fractional interest. If 50% is entered in this paragraph, and the seller owns all, 100%, of the mineral estate at closing, buyer will acquire the surface, improvements, and 50% of the mineral estate. Addendum for property located seaward of the Gulf Intracoastal Waterway. The addendum is a disclosure notice for purchasers of property in the affected area. Texas guarantees public access to most Texas beaches, whether they are under private or public ownership. The access affects the beach from the natural vegetation line to the mean low tide line in the Gulf of Mexico. This line moves over time through a number of natural forces, such as regular beach erosion. The vegetation line is also affected by tropical storms and hurricanes. The purchaser is advised that the property described in this contract is in the vicinity of a public beach. The vegetation line could move so as to leave the property and its improvements on a public beach. The owner of such property could be liable for the cost of demolition and removal of the improvements. Addendum for coastal area property. This addendum is used when a property abuts any tidally influenced waters of Texas. Property would include lands fronting on the Gulf of Mexico, including all bays and waterways, the levels of which rise and fall with the tide. The seller must disclose any known fill on the property. Construction of structures such as bulkheads and piers over state-owned submerged lands must be done with a proper state permit. Addendum for property in a propane gas system service area. House Bill 2532 amends the Utilities Code to establish standards for propane distribution system retailers. This bill does not affect retailers who supply propane to users by refilling on-site propane tanks. A propane distribution system delivers propane gas from a central storage location via a pipeline to residential users, similar to the way that natural gas is delivered. The bill requires distribution system retailers to provide certain disclosures and record certain documents in the county real property records in which the retailer owns or operates a propane gas system. The bill also establishes notice requirements for a homeowner who proposes selling or conveying real property in a propane gas system service area owned by such a retailer. The required notice must be provided by a seller at or before the execution of a binding contract for the purchase of the real property described in the notice or at closing of purchase of the real property. Per House Bill 2532, the notice must include the following: a service map reflecting the location of the subdivisions or areas the distribution system retailer serves in the county, a copy of HB 2532 or a summary of the customer's rights under HB 2532, and for development agreements entered into after September 1, 2013, a statement disclosing the existence of any financial interest held by a homeowners association, municipal utility district, or developer in the propane gas system. Both parties, buyer and seller, must sign the addendum. For an up-to-date list of propane distribution system retailers, visit the Texas Railroad Commission at www.rrc.state.tx.us. Short sale addendum. Paragraph A. This document is used when seller cannot sell property at or above what he/she owes the lender. The seller is requesting that the lender short themselves on what is owed. For example, if seller's loan balance is $175,000, but the market value is $150,000, seller is asking the lender to accept $25,000 less than the existing loan balance. In A1, buyer is informed that seller's net proceeds at closing will not be enough to pay off seller's mortgage loan. In A2, seller requires the lien holder's consent to sell and requires the lender to accept seller's net proceeds as the satisfaction of the mortgage loan. The lender must also give the seller an executed release of the lien against the property in a recordable format. Paragraph B. Definition of seller's net proceeds. Paragraph C. This addendum is attached to the contract and becomes binding when both seller and buyer enter into a contract. Earnest money and option fee paid as agreed in the contract. Seller must apply immediately upon executing the contract, requesting that the lien holder give its consent and agreement for a short sale. Seller must also provide all requested documents to the lien holder. It will take more effort on seller's part to receive the lien holder's consent and agreement than it did to get the original loan. Seller and buyer are not required to perform while awaiting the lien holder's consent and agreement. Paragraph D. Buyer must decide how long they are willing to wait for the lien holder's consent. Exeunt 90 days, 120 days. Place the date on the blank line in paragraph 1. If the line holder does not consent by that date, the contract terminates with earnest money refunded to buyer. Seller would retain the option money if an option was created using paragraph 23. If the line holder gives consent, the contract is amended to reflect the new execution date, amended effective date. Paragraph E. If the lien holder never provides consent in agreement or withdraws its consent, seller must notify buyer of the line holder's refusal or withdrawal. Paragraph F. If buyer has the unrestricted right to terminate the contract, the option period begins on the contract's effective date and continues through the amended effective date. Buyer has the right to inspect immediately and terminate during the stated time. Buyer may re-inspect again during the new amended effective date. Paragraph G. Time is of the essence. Buyer needs to have cash or financing in place when the line holder gives consent and agreement. Buyer may lose his or her loan lock interest rate while waiting for the line holder's consent. Likewise, the property may go down in value. Paragraph H. Seller gives written authority for any other lien holder to give requested information to buyer or buyer's representative. Paragraph Y. If there is more than one lien holder secured by property, this addendum applies to each lien holder. Notice of buyer's termination of contract. To terminate the contract, the buyer's agent will submit the Notice of Buyer's Termination of Contract, a multi-purpose termination form that provides 7 specific reasons to terminate a purchase contract. The buyer can choose to check off one of the reasons for termination, including the inability to obtain third-party financing or an unsatisfactory appraisal, or may simply indicate that he or she is exercising the unrestricted right to terminate the contract. No explanation is required. If the buyer decides to terminate the contract for a reason other than those in 1-7 of this form, the license holder will enter the appropriate information into paragraph 8. Notice of seller's termination of contract. Buyers have many more opportunities to terminate a purchase contract than sellers. While the notice of buyer's termination of contract lists 7 reasons a buyer can terminate a contract, the notice of seller's termination of contract lists only 1 specific reason. The buyer failed to deliver the earnest money within the time required in paragraph 5 of the contract. If a buyer fails to deliver the earnest money in the period allotted in the contract, the buyer would be considered in breach of contract. Please note that this form does not provide for an election of remedies and does not release the earnest money. Addendum for property subject to mandatory membership in a property owners association. This form contains the subdivision information for the property owners association and provides for the buyer to receive a resale certificate. The buyer should carefully review information regarding fees, assessments, violations of restrictions, and litigation regarding the association. The seller must promptly notify the buyer of any material changes to the subdivision information. Addendum regarding residential leases. If paragraph 4A of the contract is selected, the agent will attach the addendum regarding residential leases to the contract. The addendum offers the buyer and seller 2 options. One option is for the seller to terminate any existing leases by closing. The other option is for the buyer to assume any existing written or oral leases. The addendum allows the seller to terminate all residential leases affecting the property, if possible. It also provides an option for the seller to assume the existing leases. Merely filling out the form will not terminate any residential leases attached to the property. The seller should refer to the tenant's lease to ensure that he or she has the right to terminate the lease. The seller may wish to consult with an attorney. Addendum regarding fixture leases. This addendum merely discloses the fact that there are fixture leases affecting the property. The buyer and seller should thoroughly investigate the fixture leases and negotiate with the party that owns the fixtures. Fixture leases come into play when a homeowner does not own fixtures attached to the property. Often, these fixtures are costly items the seller leases from a third party. The third party owns the fixtures and has a lease agreement with the homeowner, that affords them certain rights as the fixture owner. A typical example of a fixture lease affecting a residential property is a solar panel lease. Since solar panels are expensive, homeowners often opt to lease them from a solar company rather than pay $15,000 to $20,000 to purchase and install them. Paragraph A discloses the leased fixtures to the buyer and allows the buyer to either assume the existing fixture lease S or request that the seller remove them. Paragraph B states that the seller must deliver copies of all fixture leases to the buyer within 5 days of the contract's effective date. The buyer has 7 days after receiving the fixture leases from the seller to terminate the contract. If, after reviewing the leases, the buyer decides to terminate the contract within the 7-day window, she will retain the earnest money. Paragraph C states that at closing, there should not be any liens or security interests against the property, except for those for fixture leases the buyer will assume from the seller. The notice at the bottom of the form states that the buyer and the seller should confer with the fixture owner, lessor, and/or their attorneys to ensure that the fixture leases are assumable or may be terminated. Addendum containing notice of obligation to pay improvement district assessment. The broker-lawyer committee drafted the addendum containing notice of obligation to pay improvement district assessment to satisfy the statutory requirement for the seller to provide written notice if the property is in a public improvement district. Texas Property Code, Section 5.014. Notice of obligation to pay public improvement district assessment, 2, municipality or county levying assessment, concerning the property at street address. As a purchaser of this parcel of real property, you are obligated to pay an assessment to a municipality or county for an improvement project undertaken by a public improvement district under Subchapter A, Chapter 372, Local Government Code, or Chapter 382, Local Government Code. The assessment may be due annually or in periodic installments. More information concerning the amount of the assessment and the due dates of that assessment may be obtained from the municipality or county levying the assessment. The amount of the assessment is subject to change. Your failure to pay the assessments could result in a lien on and the foreclosure of your property. B. The seller shall deliver the notice required under subsection A to the purchaser before the effective date of an executory contract binding the purchaser to purchase the property. The notice may be given separately as part of the contract during negotiations or as part of any other notice the seller delivers to the purchaser. If the notice is included as part of the executory contract or another notice, the title of the notice prescribed by this section, the references to the street address and date in the notice, and the purchaser's signature on the notice may be omitted. Subdivision Information Form. The Property Owners Association, or the management company representing it, completes this form. It details the financial condition of the association and any issues related to the property. The POA must disclose the amount of charges, fees, or dues that each owner of property located in the subdivision must pay to the POA and when those dues are to be paid. This is called the regular assessment. The POA must also enter the amount of any special assessment, that is, charges, fees, or dues, that each owner must pay to the POA in order to pay for capital improvements to the common areas of the subdivision. The POA may assess a special assessment before or after the capital improvement costs are incurred. The name and contact information of the managing agent of the POA must be entered onto the second page of the form. The following documents must be attached to the contract. Restrictions, rules, bylaws, current balance sheet, current operating budget, certificate of insurance concerning property and liability insurance for common areas and facilities, any governmental notices of health or housing code violations. Addendum for Section 10, 31, Exchange. The addendum for Section 1031, Exchange Form, allows the seller or buyer to disclose an intent to use the subject property as a 1031 exchange and includes a statement that the parties will reasonably cooperate with one another